Okay, let's turn in our Bibles. That was a blessing, wasn't it? Genesis, please. Genesis tonight. Chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46. We're going to read starting in verse 28. When you find it, stand together with me one more time. We're going to read the rest of chapter 46, and we're going into chapter 47 a little bit, okay? Start in verse 28 with me. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Could you imagine that reunion? After 20 plus years of not seeing your dad, because you were sold into slavery, tossed in the pit, abused really along the way, and then you watch God do the miracle that you saw in Egypt, and now this amazing reunion. That's a blessing right there. Verse 30, and Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Goshen, or rather Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now I won't read, but we'll be dealing with all the way from verse 1 to verse 12 in chapter 47, where the brothers of Joseph stand before Pharaoh. Joseph rather goes to Pharaoh first, and then his brothers are brought before Pharaoh, five representatives, and they have the opportunity to do exactly what Joseph told them to do in the last part of chapter 46. To tell them their occupation. To be honest with them about who they are. And I think there's something that we can gain from this. Otherwise, I don't believe God would have given Israel this text. Nor would God have given it to us. But there's something that we can gain from this idea. Watch this. Let me get your attention. God blesses an honest testimony. God blesses an honest testimony. Can I say it a different way? God will bless you if who you are here is who you are out there. Okay? Let's have prayer. Father, we pray your blessings upon this passage. Help us to be the Christians you want us to be, not just in church, but outside of these walls as well. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When my children come down from the downstairs, I can always hear them loud and clear because it's like a herd of cattle. You know, when they come down. I always wonder, do they just fall down the stairs? You know, but I don't hear any crying, so that's what I wait for. When I hear a loud crash upstairs, I wait for crying or screaming. You know, if I don't hear that, I think, well, I'll deal with it later, I guess. You know. But whenever they come downstairs and I hear the door sort of go like this, well, I can hear a screech, like, I don't hear the tumbling down the stairs. I just hear, because our steps are squeaky, you know. And then I hear the door open like this. It's like real slow. And then one of them creeps out, and he's walking sideways. Hey, Dad. Why are you walking sideways? No reason. What do you have behind your back? Nothing. I don't believe you. You are not being honest. It doesn't create in me a feeling of trust when they do that sort of thing. It automatically makes me suspicious, you know. Of course, they're too young to figure out maybe a more efficient way of doing that, but hopefully they'll figure out there's something seriously wrong with being dishonest, right? I found this article. The title is Six Reasons Why People Are Dishonest. I thought it was pretty good. It's a secular sort of idea, but principles are, I feel like, pretty solid. Let me read it to you, okay? The article, again, is titled Six Reasons People Are Dishonest. Principle, or rather, reason number one, laziness. He goes on to say, lazy people like to take the easy way out. Just think back to when you were in high school, he says, of all the cheating that went on in high school, you know, or in junior high, depending on where you went to school and the crowd that you were around. Lots of cheating takes place. You teens back there in school, you see it, don't you? Lots of cheating happens around, you know. So why is that? Well, or why is it that they're dishonest? Well, mostly because they're lazy. They don't want to do the work themselves. So they'll find somebody else to help them out. The second reason this guy says people are dishonest is because they don't have the skills. People who don't have the skills feel that they need to cheat to get ahead or keep up with the rest. He goes on to say, we see all the time in sports, baseball players taking steroids, China using 13-year-olds for the Olympics, football coaches taping the opponent's practices. It must be devastating to devote your entire life to a sport only to find that you're naturally you just can't measure up to your opponents or your competitors. And instead of trying to be true to themselves, they choose to cheat or to be dishonest to gain their fortune and their fame to stay up with the others, right? I thought that was good. The third reason why people are dishonest is peer pressure. He says there is a saying, tell me who you hang around with, and I'll tell you who you are. I think that's a good statement. Let me see who you're hanging around with. I'll tell you who you really are. He goes on to say underneath that one, what about the people who grew up with dishonest friends, those peers? I do believe an individual is ultimately responsible for his or her own decisions, but I do also feel that we are the product of our surroundings. Peer pressure can make weak individuals do dishonest things. So who are you hanging around with? That's the idea. The fourth reason why people are dishonest is because of greed. Some people are greedy. They want to make as much money as they possibly can. And so they crave that attention. They crave that fame. They crave that money. They want the limelight. Therefore, they use whatever means possible to get there. Greed. Number five. Financial situation. When you're broke, he says. And when you're broke, you are trying to think of ways that you can make money. And people who choose dishonesty are ultimately, in the end, are choosing the easy way out. And number six, the reason why people are dishonest is because they have confused morals. And he explains that one this way. If you're brought up by dishonest parents, then you have a high chance of being dishonest as well. And that really kind of reverts to one of the others that was peer pressure. The people that we're around, the things that we're exposed to, our financial situation, he says greed. He talked about peer pressure, trying to be something that you're not, trying to measure up to something that God never really designed you to measure up to, or just plain laziness is why people are dishonest. Well, I want you to know, as Christians, I think that maybe we can relate with some of these statements when it comes to the reason why we're not honest in our testimony, why we're one way here and another way there. One thing that we can know, whatever reason it is that you might be one, and I'm not pointing fingers tonight, I'm just saying it might be that you have a tendency to struggle in this way, and you can identify with one of these purposes for dishonesty, but in the end, here's what we can know. God cannot bless you if you have a dishonest testimony. You cannot have the blessings of God in your life or in your family. You can't be prosperous. Why is that? Because honesty, watch this, honesty is based upon faith. Listen, did you hear that? Well, let me say it a different way. Honesty is based upon your faith in the truth. Do you believe something is true? Well, make things better. You know, if you're honest about something. And see, honesty and the truth kind of connect with each other. And our faith is what really meets in the middle. And God blesses our faith. He'll bless our faith in the truth. He'll bless us when we're honest in our testimony. Joseph asked his family to be honest with Pharaoh. He says, when you stand before Pharaoh, I want you to be honest about who you are. Tell him your occupation. Now, I want you to see why this was potentially a big deal for the Israelites, for the Egyptians, and why there may have been a struggle here. Okay? Now, to start off, this is a grand reunion. Jacob finally is going to see his son once again. Jacob and Joseph. The reunion we've been waiting for since this thing took place and Joseph was cast into the pit. And now it's happened. He arrives. Joseph comes to meet Jacob, gets his chariot ready, and then they greet each other with a hug. I'm sure it's hugs and kisses. And they lay on each other's neck for who knows how long. It just says for a great long time. Look at verse 29. Joseph made ready his chariot, went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck for a good while. Doesn't even tell us how long, just for a long time. Jacob goes on to say his life was now full and complete. And right after this grand reunion, Joseph wants his family to understand, we're blessed by this reunion, but we need to think about the future. We need to think about a relationship that needs to be established right now on the right ground. I'm going to go to Pharaoh. And whenever I go to him, I'm going to tell him what your occupation is. And when you stand before Pharaoh, I want you to be honest about what your occupation is. Look at verse 33. It shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. What does that mean? It means they're shepherds. Did you hear that? They're shepherds. So they're going to stand before Pharaoh and he's going to say, what's your occupation? And here's what they're supposed to say. Your servants are shepherds. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, look at the last phrase, verse 34. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptian. So now we see maybe a little bit of the reason why being honest could have been a little bit of a struggle as they stand before Pharaoh. Now I want to help you understand why the Egyptians had this thing against the shepherds. Okay? Isn't that, don't you look at that and you say, that's kind of odd. What's his beef? I didn't mean that to be a pun or something. Anyway, what's his issue here? I really didn't. Well, shepherds to the Egyptians would have been like nomadic people. Shepherds to the Egyptians, what they would have noticed about these groups would be like nomads. That's what they would consider as shepherds. What they would do is they would come into the land, sort of infiltrate themselves into the land, like a squatter. They would come in and they would take part of the nutrients of the land for a time. You know, bring their cattle and feed on the land for a time. And then they would move on to another land, part of the land, or another region, or another area. And so when the Egyptians thought of the shepherds, the way they thought of them is nomadic people. People who had no home. They went from place to place. They obtained food with dishonest means. They wandered from pasture to pasture. And the Egyptians would have viewed shepherds this way: squatters and thieves. And so now whenever you see that Egyptians thought of a shepherd as an abomination, we can see why. But here's what Joseph wants them to say to Pharaoh: we're not nomads. That's not who we are. This is who we are. But in the end, here's what they had to do. They had to be honest with Pharaoh by faith, because they're an unpopular group to the Egyptians. But Joseph wanted them to be honest about that. Did you know that God wants us to be honest in this world about who we are? Listen, let me have your attention. God wants us to be honest in this world, outside of these doors, not just in here, but out there with the world about who we are. I remember when I was in ninth grade, I was confronted this thing face to face. And when I was studying this, this memory kept coming back to my mind when I was in ninth grade. I told you my story several times, but my brothers ran away from home. I won't go into a lot of the details with that. They wanted to go to Christian school. I didn't. I didn't care about that life. I had my own life. But Dad made us all move in with Mom. So I was a part of the, transition. I got to go. My attitude stunk. And my brothers went to Christian school. My mom, my stepdad, they allowed me to go to the public school. I grew up in public school in Moore, Oklahoma. I was in eighth grade. I was going into ninth grade, and they allowed me to go to school. And so that's where I went to school, at the public school. I played football. I'd never played football before, and I enjoyed that. I got hurt, but I enjoyed playing. I played basketball and did very well in that at the high school. And then I tried out for baseball. Hey, let's just do all three, the trifecta, right? Football, basketball, baseball. So I tried out for the team, and I'd never played baseball, but I thought, well, I never played football, and I made it to the varsity team on that, so maybe it'll be that way with baseball. No. Baseball's not like football, okay? You're not just like a natural. You have to really practice on technique and be disciplined in a lot of ways. So I went to practice, and I was terrible. Whenever you just are warming up and you're here and the guy's just like 10 feet away, you're just throwing the ball back and forth, I would throw it over his head. He had to run and get my ball all the time. I felt bad. Anyway, I remember, practices and all these things. Well, before I quit the team, because I wasn't a quitter. I still am not a quitter. But I knew that wasn't going to work out for me. Baseball wasn't going to work. So I finally quit the team. But before I quit, I went with the team to a practice, or to a scrimmage. And we were on our way home from the scrimmage, and a lot of the guys on the bus, baseball team on the bus, we're all crammed in there. We're talking like ninth grade all the way to senior high, all the kids in one bus from this public school. So we're all in there, like two to a seat, three to a seat. And it didn't smell good, believe me. But the guys' conversation, for the most part, you can imagine, is pretty bad. On a public school bus with baseball players, a lot of the guys aren't talking about good stuff. And I remember that. I remember some of the conversations the guys were having. And then I remember in front of me about two seats. I would have been in about halfway back in the bus. And then about two seats in front of me, there was guys that were in the seat right in front of me. And then the guys that were two seats in front of me were turned around and they were talking to each other. And the guys that were turned around were seniors. One of them was the quarterback of the football team. He was a senior, and he was a stud. That guy was awesome, And he was a great pitcher, too. And so they're having conversation, and I remember the guys behind me, they were having vile conversations. But then I kind of listened up, and the guys right in front of me, that senior quarterback, he was talking about Jesus. I remembered that. Because I was faithful to church, but nobody on that bus knew it. because I wasn't excited about it, and I didn't have a good attitude either. And he was, you know, talking about the Lord. And he must have been talking about the Lord with those guys that were in the seat right in front of me. I don't remember what he was saying to them. All I remember is he looked at me and he says, because I'm in this next seat back. He says, "Hey, Ben," or rather Moore. They called me Moore. "Hey, Moore." I said, what is it?" He said, "Are you saved?" Where, I mean, it's out of nowhere. I'm on a public school bus. I felt like everybody in the bus stopped talking and looked at me. "Hey, Ben, are you saved?" I felt like everybody looked at me. Now, I already told you about my attitude, and I already told you how faithful I was to church. And without hesitating, I told him no. Because I didn't want to be associated. I didn't want that connection for whatever reason. And then I put my head down and I wouldn't let him talk to me anymore. And as soon as I said no to him, do you know what struck me? I just lied because I know I'm saved. I got saved when I was 12. And my testimony just kept going over in my mind the whole bus ride after that. Why did I say no to him? Why wasn't I honest? I wasn't what Joseph is telling his brothers to be. I wasn't what God wants us to be. When we leave this place and we confront this world, God wants us to be honest about who we really are. This world ought to know we're saved. This world ought to know that we live the sanctified life. They ought to know that we're not lost. But you know, often, as Christians, we don't have that kind of a testimony. We have the kind of testimony that I had on that day. We're not the kind of Christians God wants us to be outside of this place all the time. For whatever reason, it could be that we're afraid to stand against this world. We're afraid that we'll lose our status. Like me, in the midst of the bus, afraid if I said, "Yes, I'm saved," that maybe somehow I would automatically not be cool anymore because I'm saved or I live for Jesus Christ. And then because I'm no longer cool, I'll never get a girlfriend ever, you know. I'll just live the rest of my life a loser because I told somebody I'm saved, you know. It's just silliness. But we have these fears go through our mind about us standing for Jesus Christ. We fear. We have these fears. Could you imagine these brothers of Joseph? And they're standing before Pharaoh and they're about to tell him their true occupation, something that the Egyptians hate. The fear that potentially is there about their honesty. It's the same type of fear that we have at times. Although our fear could be that we, if we're honest about who we are, then we might miss out on some fun. It's kind of hard to go to a party and engage in what happens at a party if everybody there knows you're saved. Because they're like, why are you here? You know, aren't you a saved? We don't want anybody to know we're saved because then we can do whatever we want. And we have that fear of losing out on the fun, losing out on friends, potentially suffering some ridicule for being the Christian. We need to have faith, don't we? Faith because honesty comes from faith. Faith to stand for the truth, for who we are whenever we leave this place. No matter what the consequences, to trust God, and that's faith. So what grows out of that kind of faith and that kind of testimony outside of this place? That you would leave and be out there what you are in here and have a testimony for Christ and not to be ashamed of Him. No matter who it confronts you, no matter what comes along the way, that you wouldn't be ashamed to talk to somebody else about Christ or to name His name or to be associated with Him. Even if you're the only one standing in the corner and everybody else is sort of covering their mouth and laughing at you, pointing. That we would be willing to stand against such ridicule to be the Christian out there in this world. to be honest about who we are. You know why you should do that? Because God blesses an honest testimony. He always does. God blesses Joseph's family because they were honest. His brothers told him their true occupation. Look at verse 2 of the next chapter. Let's start in verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." So Joseph did what he said he would do. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." So they were honest, weren't they? Honest about who they were. Look at verse 6. In the land, this is Pharaoh speaking through Joseph, "The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, make them rulers over my cattle." So they told their true occupation, and then Pharaoh wanted to bless them. God will bless his people when they're honest in their testimony. Jacob was honest with Pharaoh about his testimony. Look at verse 7. Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old art thou?" It's pretty blunt, bold, but Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years, and few and evil have the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the day of their pilgrimage." You know what Jacob just said to Pharaoh? "I've lived 130 disappointing years." Well, you're like, whoa, that's kind of a poochy lip the thing to say, wouldn't you say? I've had few and evil. I mean, you want to know what characterized my life? Bummer. Okay? I don't measure up to anything of what was in my heritage. My father's, I don't even come close to that. My life has been disappointment after disappointment. But you know, we look at that and we say, well, this is just sort of cynicism. This is not a good attitude. But in the end, here's what Jacob is doing. He's saying, but it's not going to be that way anymore. I've had a rough 130 years, but you know what I'm going to have starting now? Blessings. Blessings. You know why? Because God blesses an honest testimony. Do you know what you don't see any more of in Jacob's life after this? No more disappointments. No more few and evil. It's Joseph and joy. Joseph and joy. He's got his family. He's got it all. He's blessed. I mean, we see God's blessings here. God, through Pharaoh, gave the children of Israel the land of Goshen. He gave them anything they needed. He blessed Jacob. By even though looking at the past 130 years, you know what? Let's see what God has for the future. Praise the Lord, he says. And it's all because God blesses an honest testimony. I want to have you turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. You can lose your place from Genesis. We're going to finish right here in Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 32. Okay. Let's see. Do I have everybody's attention? Okay. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. What do you mean, Pastor? Whoever identifies with me out there, I will identify with him. Now, there's two ways we can apply this. Hey, listen, you deny Jesus Christ and you don't accept salvation, you're not going to heaven. Okay? But we also saw the disciples deny Jesus Christ this morning. Or we'll see that, I guess, in a couple weeks. But so we also know as Christians, we can deny God's leadership in our life outside of the walls here. Look at verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, rather, we just read that one, right? No. Him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I mean, we kind of read, it's kind of the same implication there. Let me say something about this. Thinking about what Jesus says, that his blessings follow those that are have an honest testimony out there. Okay. His blessings follow that. Now I want you to, let me have your attention, please. This morning, we had a couple here, and they were sitting right there. Were they over here? They were right here, and then they moved over there. That's right. I was thinking, well, they started off here, but then they moved over there. So this couple this morning, I was talking to them. I always do this. Where are you from? I love this. Fall City. Boom. You know, I hate to hear we're from New Jersey or something. Okay, nice having you. See you never again. No. Fall City. So I was blessed by that. And then I said, you know, how'd you hear about us? Oh, Tim Campbell told me about you. Tim Campbell, he's the guy that lives in the Christmas house right there. I don't know how else to explain, but you know what I mean, right? Airplanes that fly by know, hey, there's Tim's house, you know. So don't land there, no. Tim Campbell, that's interesting to me. Is that interesting to you, Miss Marilyn? Tim, isn't that neat to hear that? Kind of went down, right? Let me explain to you why. Because Tim Campbell and Valley Avenue Baptist Church have not always had a good testimony with each other. Isn't that right, Miss Marilyn? Not always good tastes in mouth. But when we came, we just tried to have an honest testimony. And we just sought the Lord. And we want to reach out to Tim, and he's a friend of mine. We text each other every so often. About a year ago, he texted me and he said, Pastor, we need to have some Bible studies. I said, I'm your man. Let's meet. And we met for like 10 weeks. He didn't get saved. He said this to me, and it reminded me of Agrippa. He says, Pastor, you almost convinced me. I said, well, I'm glad to hear that, but that's not good enough, you know. And I told him that. But, you know, God's working in him. But to hear that he's invited somebody to come to our church, he recommended to them to come here, that's God's blessings. That's God's blessings of an honest testimony. I can't think of any other way to explain it. It happened this morning when that family was here. God will bless an honest testimony. Christians who learn to be who they are out there the same as they are in here, and don't hold back or hide behind some veil, but are honest in our testimony, God will bless. He'll bless us. He'll bless you individually as you're honest. Don't hide Christ from your life outside of this place. Live boldly and watch God bless you, because he will. Father, tonight we thank you for the privilege you give us to be in church. We thank you so much for this. God, we think about this family, and really in the end We don't just want to use this as an illustration, but God, we want to be a blessing to this family. We also would love to see Tim to come. And we know you're working. We pray, God, that you'll continue to do a great and mighty work in those families. But then, Lord, the families of your people this morning, or rather tonight, I pray that you'll work in us. Help us. It might be that some here haven't been haven't lived the kind of testimony that they should. I pray, God, that you'll help us to have faith in you enough to be honest about who we are. To talk to people about you. To take stand for you when it's necessary. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.